invite you this morning to take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel again. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Last Sunday morning, we considered together the theme of the simplicity that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to lay before us the challenge of our sensitivity towards Christ. I've asked you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I want to again point our attention to this passage of Scripture. And really, I want you just to follow along as I read again, beginning in verse 4. It says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lie down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Again, this morning, I want us to consider our sensitivity towards Christ. Before we consider this theme any further this morning, I want to bow and commit our time unto the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we come and ask you this morning for your help and your strength as we seek to know thy truth from thy word. We thank you that the word of God is true and it is powerful. It is able to transform lives. Lord, we know that today it can change us. We know today it can comfort us. We know today that it can correct our ways. But Lord, we have to first be willing to hear from thy word today. So I pray that there's not one here today whose heart is not open to hear the Spirit of God as he speaks. Lord, not only can we hear the word, but we must also decide to be a doer of that word. To take the truth as it is given unto us and live according to it. And Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one to do just that. Lord, we ask and pray that you give us understanding today. We commit ourselves in this time unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible tells us that in the last days, before our Lord returns, that the world will be much like as it was in the days of Noah. In that day, men cared very little for the things of God. In fact, the Bible says that every imagination of their heart was evil continually. Our world today is waxing worse and worse, and men who name the name of Christ are no longer willing to endure for his name's sake. We live in a day where many people lack a proper sensitivity towards the Lord Jesus Christ. When we can struggle to be sensitive to hear God when he speaks. Where we can sin and no longer be bothered by such sin. Many today are happy to be freed from the penalty of sin, but there's no desire to give their very best for the Lord and to serve him all the days of their life, to serve the one who saved us eternally. This morning, it's my desire to look at several examples that we find in the Scripture that will help us to see this challenge and the need of being sensitive towards the things of God. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will allow him, can make life more simple. And truly it should be. Our focus ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. He ought to be the one that we live each and every day for. We ought to be centered and focused on Him and Him alone. As our eyes are fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the things of this earth grow strangely dim. Life can be simple as we give our lives to Christ and we seek to have Him as the center of all that we do. But there's a need within our day, within our lives, that each and every one of us not only seek a simple life in Christ, but that we be sensitive towards the things of God. I've asked you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 because it's the first example that I want us to consider. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find the story of Samuel as a young boy, as a child, as he lived there in the tabernacle with Eli, the high priest. And this young man had a sensitivity to hear the Lord when He spoke. And you and I in our day need to have a sensitivity to hear when God speaks to us. That we would be able to say, like Samuel, "Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth." We are a blessed people. We have the opportunity each and every week to come and sit under the preaching of God's Word. To come and place ourselves and our families in Sunday schools where we teach specifically to the ages of the people within our classrooms. We have opportunities for our children and our teens and our youth. We have before us the written Word of God, which is designed to teach us and instruct us. Yet I wonder how many of us hear God when He speaks. And you and I need to be sensitive to hear the Lord as He speaks. The life of Samuel reminds me of the importance of being sensitive towards Christ in such a way that allows us to hear. Again, verse 10 gives us that wonderful statement of Samuel, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Why is that statement so important? Why is it so important that in this day of Samuel, that there would be one willing to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth"? Well, look with me at verse 1, if you would. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Why is it so important that there be one willing to hear God when He speaks? In Samuel's day, there was no open vision. It was important that one would hear from God, because the words of the Lord were precious in those days. I want to remind you what time period we're in. As you come to 1 Samuel chapter 3, we are still in the period of the judges. That is not the glorious time in Israel's history. It is a time where men did that which is right in their own eyes. Men didn't care necessarily about the things of God. They cared about what they thought and what they believed to be important. They were willing to do what they deemed best. And at that time, there was no open vision. God had been silent, and they had not heard from Him. So now the Lord begins to reveal Himself, and He comes to Samuel. He speaks. And this young child was able to hear the Lord when He spoke. He was sensitive to Him when He called. There was no king that had been selected. There were no prophets to whom the Lord was speaking. Eli was the priest. And yet, in essence, the priesthood had been defamed by his own sons. And God was not working through Eli, and God was not working through his sons. There was no open vision, yet to this child, God would speak. And he was sensitive to hear God when He spoke. As I consider that, I wondered, why would God choose Samuel? Why choose to speak to Samuel, to this child? What made him so special that God would want to come and reveal His word to him? Were there no prophets? Were there no men in Israel that God could have spoke to? Why Samuel? I think there's several reasons. The first thing that I'll point out to you is I think his upbringing was special. His mother was Hannah. Hannah had prayed for a son. And as she prayed and asked God for a son, she promised God that if He would give to her a son, she would give that son back to Him. She would dedicate that child to the things of the Lord. Hannah was a special lady because she not only promised it, she performed it. She carried it through. After Samuel was weaned from his mother, she took him and she presented him to the temple, to the tabernacle, to Eli. And she gave her son to the service of the Lord. Mom and Dad, I want you to consider something with me. I want you to consider what effect you can have on the child by the way you bring them up. It's important, sir. It's important, ma'am. Moms and dads, that we bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So many parents are willing to say, yes, we want to dedicate our children to the things of God. Yet they train them and they bring them up in the ways of the world, not in the things of God. Samuel was a special young man, I believe, because of his parents, because of his upbringing. A mom who was willing to pray for him and a mom who was willing to give him and dedicate him to the things of God. And she followed through. Mom and Dad, let's not allow this world to come in and corrupt our children. Let's not allow them to steal away that which is so precious. For you and I have no idea what is in the mind and the heart of Almighty God for the life of that child. Hannah had no idea that God desired it through Samuel to make him one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history. The one that would anoint the first two kings of Israel. God chose Samuel because of his upbringing. I believe he also chose him because of the choices that he made were surrender choices. Again, I find in verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. That really is a remarkable statement. Samuel could have felt abandoned by his family. Someone else made this choice for me. I didn't decide this for myself. Why should I have to serve? He could have been a troublemaker just like Eli's sons. But Samuel chose as a child to minister unto the Lord before Eli. He was faithful in ministering and carrying out the duties that were given unto him. He decided that he would serve the Lord. Throughout these verses, we see Samuel running to Eli, ready to serve. He heard the call. He assumed it was Eli. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. He was ready to serve. His choices were surrender choices. Finally, he demonstrated that he would be faithful with the message of the Lord. God knew that he could trust Samuel. If you read further on in the passage, after Samuel responds to the Lord, we find the message that God had for him. It was not an easy message for a child to hear. Eli, the high priest, has failed. And I will bring judgment upon him and his whole household. No longer will I work through his family. Because of his sons and his unwillingness to tame them and to train them, He has allowed them to defame the priesthood, and I will bring my judgment upon him. Imagine how Samuel must have felt that night. Because he knew, did he not? The high priest would want to know what God had to say. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So I can only imagine that as soon as the sun rose, Eli was there. Samuel, what did God have to say? Scripture even tells us that he was even afraid to tell Eli, but he told him. He didn't lie. He didn't spin it. He didn't try to make it sound better than it was. He didn't leave some things out. When God gave him his word, he proclaimed his word. Word for word. God knew that he was trustworthy. I wonder this morning how many would the Lord choose from among us to impart his message if he was speaking in that way. I wonder if there was no open vision today, if there was no scripture before us and God was to speak, to whom would he come from amongst this congregation and say, I need to share my word with you, for I can count you worthy to receive it, because I know you're sensitive to hear and willing to receive and then faithfully proclaim. I wonder how many he would speak through to today. I wonder how many of us are sensitive enough to hear when he does call. How many of us are able to discern when God is speaking to our hearts. Eli's sons were priests in the land. They were in line to be the high priest, yet God never spoke to them. You and I live in a world today where the word of God abounds, yet we find that very few are able to hear the Lord when he speaks. They struggle to discern what the Lord is truly saying. May God help us, each and every one, to be sensitive towards Christ that we might hear him when he speaks. Every time we open the pages of his holy word, God desires to speak to us. Every time we sit under the preaching of his word, every Sunday school class, every devotional that we read, everything that we're involved with where God's word is open, God desires to speak to his people. But the question is, are we sensitive that when we enter into such a place, we desire to hear from God? As I consider Samuel, it tells me that we ought to be sensitive towards Christ, that we would hear him when he speaks. Next, I want you to consider with me the importance of a sensitivity that allows us to properly deal with sin. Go over with me, if you would, to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. The greatest example, I believe, that we find about a sensitivity towards sin is found in Psalm 51 in the life of David. Psalm 51, as you know, is the psalm of David's repentance. Psalm 51 shows us why the Lord recalled David, a man after God's own heart, even though he had sinned so vilely. David was a man that was sensitive in relation to sin. He was willing to deal with it before the Lord. He had sinned greatly. He had now been confronted with that sin. He could have ignored the words of Nathan. He was the king. There was none greater in the land than him. He could have taken Nathan's life. He could have buried his sin even deeper. But David was a man whose heart was always sensitive to sin. And when confronted with it, he was willing to deal with sin. Verse 3 of Psalm 51 shows us that sensitivity. For David said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Not only did David acknowledge that sin, but he desired to be cleansed and made pure. Verse 2, David says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." David didn't want sin to live within his life and reign there any longer. David was willing and he had a desire to be cleansed and pure. He was willing to do what the Lord requested of him, what the Lord required of him in order to deal with sin. Verse 16 and 17. "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." David's heart was sensitive to sin. He was willing to deal openly and honestly, to confess it, to repent of it, to be cleansed and made pure, to humble himself before his Almighty God. How about you this morning? Are we sensitive to sin? Or has our conscience become hardened, or even worse, has it become seared? Have we kept a close account with God? Are we regularly confessing our sin before the Lord? For we all stumble, we all fall. But the Bible says that we are to confess our sin. That means to say the same thing as God says. By the way, sin is sin. It's not a mistake. It's not a regret. It's not a misunderstanding. Sin is sin. A lie is a lie. Cruelty is cruelty. Evil is evil. We need to be willing to call sin, sin. To have a heart that is sensitive to regularly confess, knowing that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are we sensitive enough to know that our sin, as the Bible says, has separated us from fellowship with God? Do you even know that time with God and His nearness to you is even absent from your life? How sensitive are we to sin? You know, God longs for a people who are sensitive towards Him and willing to deal with their sin. God desires to walk in close fellowship with us. He desires that communion. He desires that we abide in Him. He longs for that. He wants that. But our sin so often separates us from God. And yet we as God's people don't even know that God's no longer speaking. We don't hear the Spirit of God say to us, "There is sin that must be confessed. I'm longing for the fellowship again." How sensitive are we towards our God? There ought to be a sensitivity that we hear Him when He speaks. There ought to be a sensitivity that we are willing to deal with sin. Now, if you would, turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Because there ought to be a sensitivity that causes us to serve. A sensitivity to service. Isaiah chapter 6 is a very familiar passage. Few men were ever privileged quite like Isaiah was privileged. The prophet Isaiah was blessed to see a vision of heaven. And in that vision of heaven, he saw the very throne of God and God Himself upon His throne. What blessing was given to him? In this vision, we find that marvelous scene of the seraphims, each with six wings. With twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And we see the message that they proclaimed: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Isaiah was privileged to see this wonderful scene and grandeur of the vision of Almighty God who is holy. And as we see Isaiah here, we find him to respond properly, for he recognizes his unworthiness and he desires that his life be purified. Woe is me! For I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a perverse people with unclean lips. I need to be cleansed. I need to be purified. For he saw God in the grandeur of his holiness. Oh, that God would restore to us a proper vision of our God. Perhaps the reason that many today are no longer sensitive to sin is simply because they have lost the true vision of who God is. But I want you to notice with me, if you would, verse 8. After this wonderful vision, Isaiah, interestingly enough, hears. Goes back to our first point. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. He was blessed with his wonderful vision, but he also heard the voice of the Lord. Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Who is there among the men of the earth that will serve the Almighty God? And Isaiah proclaimed, here am I. Send me, Lord. He was sensitive to be willing that he would serve. I don't think Isaiah had any idea what was coming down the road for him when he volunteered. Do you? I don't think Jeremiah had any idea of what it meant that he was willing to be the prophet. Probably thought he would have a prosperous ministry, not be known as the weeping prophet. But there was a willingness in the heart, a sensitivity to serve. Without hesitation, Isaiah would volunteer to be used of the Lord. He was sensitive to the needs of others and was willing to serve as God. How different is it today in our generation? You realize that many today are looking not for the opportunity to serve, but the opportunity to be served. People look for churches and their first question is, what does your church have for me? What do you offer for my family? What can I get out of your ministry? It's really the wrong question, is it not? For the church is a place for God's people to serve. To serve not only one another, but to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who gave his life a ransom for them, who saved them from all their sins. Churches today are filled with parishioners who come seeking what they might receive, looking for what the church has to offer. Sometimes you hear the statement made this way: there's an awful lot of chiefs, but very few Indians. You know what that means? There's an awful lot of people who want to make decisions, but very few people who want to serve. We want authority, we want to rule, but we don't want to serve. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say about he who was greatest? Jesus Christ said that he that will be greatest among you, let him be the chief servant of all. Is our heart sensitive that we want to serve our God? Are you willing to serve when he speaks to you? Know how I knew that the Lord wanted me to serve him? He started to speak. He started to point out to me that there were problems in the generation in which I was living. That the kids that I grew up with and the young people at college that I was there with, they hadn't been trained the way they should have been. There were so many who were missing out. And I remember the question being asked, who's going to do that for me? Who's going to do that for that generation? And I wondered that, Lord, who's going to help these generations of children be trained so that when they go off to college, they're actually prepared for life? And God said since the burden belongs to you, why don't you serve? You know, I often use that when people come to me, Pastor, I really think we need to do this. Amen, God bless you, I agree. When do you want to start? They? Well, I thought you would do it, Pastor. I thought maybe your wife would have time to do that. Well, whom did the Lord give the burden? To whom did He speak? He spoke to you. Guess who He wants to serve? You. By the way, I have a job. It keeps me pretty busy. I have a family too that would like to keep me busy. But when God speaks to those who are here, let us hear that we would say, here am I. Send me. By the way, not all of us are qualified to take care of everything that comes down the road. Some of us can't do some things that you can. So as God speaks, are we sensitive to hear and are we willing to serve? There's one final thing that I want us to consider this morning, and that's a sensitivity that we would sacrifice our very best. A sensitivity towards Christ that would cause us to sacrifice our best. There are two passages that immediately come to mind. I'm going to just direct you there. We're not actually going to turn and look at them. You can, turn there and look at them on your own. The first is Genesis 22. In Genesis chapter 22, we find Abraham, the great patriarch, who is approached by the Lord, and the Lord speaks to Abraham and says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him a sacrifice for me. The Lord spoke, and in speaking, he asked of Abraham a willingness to give of his very best. We know that this was a test. God never intended for Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Because verse 1 tells us that God came and he did tempt, or the word there means to test, Abraham. When you come down to verse 12, we find that the Lord makes it very clear that it was a test. And he says in verse 12, now I know that you fear God, for you have not withheld your only son from me. But there was a test. And Abraham proved through the Lord that the Lord meant more to him than anything else or anyone else, because he refused to withhold his son. Christian, what do you value the most today? Your time? Your treasures? What is it that is of greatest value to you? If God would speak and ask you to give of your very best, are you willing to make that sacrifice? Abraham was willing to make that sacrifice. He believed God was worthy of it, and why shouldn't he be? Was it not God that called him out of the land of Ur? Was it not God that had blessed him abundantly? Why should he not give to God his very best? That leads me to the second passage, Romans 12 and verse 1. Well, Paul would write and say, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In light of the salvation with which we have received, in light of the mercies that God has given, and so much so that we are no longer bound for hell, but we have a home in heaven, in light of such wonderful mercies, is it too much for God to ask that we would give our life in service for Him? Is it too much for God to ask that we would get up and leave our comfort zone and our family and go to a place that we don't know and we don't understand, to a culture that is not our own, and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that those people might receive the same blessing? blessing that we have received? Is it too much to ask that we give of our treasures unto the Lord, that His work can be accomplished and go forward for the good news of the gospel? Is it too much to ask that we would give our time to invest in the lives of other people, that they might go forth and be a stronger generation to serve Jesus Christ? Is there anything too much to ask? If there's not, then why is it, folks, that so often within the realm of Christianity, what we offer God are the leftovers? Lord, you can have my leftover time. If I have time this week, I'll come to church. But I don't know if I have that time this week, Lord. If I have time this week, I'll come and serve. If it's convenient for me, I'll go next door to the neighbor and share the gospel, even though you keep telling me that. But I don't know, Lord. It just may not work out for me. If I have enough of my treasure left over, Lord, I'll give you what I have. But there'll be some stipulations on that, because when I give, I want to make sure, Lord, I get back. I give that you can bless me even more, so I can give a little more. And those mindsets exist in our culture today. Folks, He deserves our very best. Nothing withheld from Him. He is worthy, is He not? He certainly is. But the problem is, we're not too sensitive to that anymore. We're so caught up in the things of this life. We're so caught up in our flesh and self. We're so busy pleasing self that we have forgotten that He deserves our very best. The best of our time, the best of our talents, the best of our treasures. The best of our life. It belongs to Him. But folks, we will never give our best to the Lord until first we are able to hear Him when He speaks. We've got to be sensitive to hear the Lord. When we come to the pages of His Word and we open it, we ought to be asking, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." It's not about just accomplishing our duty for the day so we can say, "I've had my devotions, I've read my Bible, and I read it through every year." Who cares, quite frankly? If you read the pages of the Holy Scripture every year and God never speaks to you, put it down, because it's not worth your time. If you're coming to fulfill some duty for self, you're not doing it the right way. It's so that He can speak to us. Attendance in church is not so that we can say, "I went this week, I get my credit this week, God will be pleased this week." We come that God might speak, that we might hear. You know why? Because there may be some sin that we need to be ready to deal with. There may be some thoughts that need to be corrected. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that every one of us be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May God make us sensitive that we hear God when He speaks. May we be sensitive that when we sin, that we want to come quickly and confess our sin, so that we would be in a place that we would be able to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and be willing to give our very best for the Master. I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, how sensitive are we this morning to our Lord? How ready are we to hear from Him? How willing are we to make the things right that need to be made right? How open are we to serve our Lord? How willing are we to sacrifice our very best? Is He not worthy of that sensitivity? Let us not become like the Pharisees, cold and hardened towards the things of God. Let us not be like the generation of Israel that missed out on the blessings of the promised land because their heart was hardened through the deceitfulness of sin and they lived in unbelief. Instead, let us have a heart that is sensitive towards our Lord, towards the Lord Jesus Christ. That when He speaks, we respond. When there's sin, we confess it. When there's a need, we are there to volunteer and say, I'll serve, I'll go, send me, Lord. And when He asks, we're willing to give to Him our very best. You know, the church is just not a body of believers gathered together doing their own thing. It's not everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes. That's the time of the judges. It wasn't a great time in human history, or the history of Israel. The church is one body with one spirit under one Lord, Jesus Christ. Ready to serve Him no matter the cost. That His name be magnified. That His church be built. That lives be transformed for His glory. Our sensitivity to Christ is linked to the simplicity in Christ. Life becomes more simple when all I see is Him. When He's the focus and He's the center, I'll be sensitive and ready to hear Him when He speaks. Let's enjoy the simplicity as we live in sensitivity to what the Lord has for each and every one. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, we are grateful that we can come and sit under the preaching of Thy Word, that the Spirit of God can be our teacher and our instructor. Lord, today as we have gone over these things, I know my heart is continually challenged. We all have areas of weakness. We all have our failures and we have our sin. Lord, we have those areas in which we are hardened. No, Father, I pray that You would take the hearts of stone and turn them to hearts of flesh. That we would be sensitive again, that we as Your people would be willing and ready and able to hear when You speak. Sensitive, Lord, to deal with sin when we know it's there. Willing to confess it and repent and turn from it. Willing, Lord, to be volunteers in the service of the King. Which would be willing then to sacrifice our very best for Him. We know, dear Father, that Jesus Christ is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power. May we give it unto Him today. May Jesus Christ be exalted in every heart and life. May we be changed into His image. May we live in service for our King. We thank You and we praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Tim's going to